Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel story today, we hear the story of Jesus calling the first disciples. But it's a very different story than we're used to from the other gospels, where Jesus finds them fishing. We'll hear that next week. But in this gospel, we hear a little dialogue between Jesus and these two disciples of John who are following to see what John is talking about. So these two disciples come up to him, and Jesus says, and these are his first words in the Gospel of John, so a little weight to these words, says, "What are you looking for?" Now, I think that as we look at this little dialogue, it introduces us to what John, the Gospel writer, thinks about the life of discipleship. We have just a little introduction to the whole life of discipleship in this little dialogue. And so it begins at this moment. When we come to Jesus and Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" What are you looking for? There are a lot of answers to that, probably about as many responses as there are people sitting in this room. When we look to Jesus, what are we looking for? There are a lot of ways to answer, and I would imagine that our answers change throughout the course of our lives. What I would say now, I am looking for, is very different than it was when I had small children in the house, help God, or 10 years from now when I have an empty nest and no kids around. Those things change through the course of our lives. There are so many things we may look for from God. We may be asking for comfort, for hope, for peace in my heart, for understanding. That the two disciples call Jesus Rabbi, and perhaps they are looking for some teaching, some understanding about their faith and their scripture. Or we may be looking for healing in our body, in our mind, in our spirit. But we also know that the life of faith isn't just about me. And when I think, what am I looking for? I also think of justice and healing for the community and peace in the world. So Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" And the disciples don't respond. They turn around with a different question. They say, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" It feels like a total non sequitur, but I think it's not so much as it sounds to us. But it's not, they're not saying like, "So Jesus, what hotel are you in? Where's your campsite?" It's more like when we ask somebody, "Where are you from?" Right? We want to know more about them. And if I have someone and they tell me that they grew up in New York City, in Manhattan, in a high-rise apartment, and then another person tells me that they grew up on a farm just outside of Omaha, and then this person says, "Oh, my mom was in the military. We moved every couple of years. I've lived all around the country and overseas." We know a little something about these people now, right? They've had very different experiences. And I think that's more what these disciples are asking Jesus. "We want to know a little more about you." And they ask this question, "Where are you staying?" And again, this question holds kind of a key to the answer, because it uses one of the writer John's favorite words, which is meno. Oh, I was going to put that in orange. Meno. That's the word to stay, to abide, to dwell, to remain. And so they're really asking Jesus, "Where do you dwell? Where do you live? What is your deep place?" And we know that Jesus' deepest place is that he dwells in God, right? And that he shows us what that life looks like. And that for John, the life of discipleship is that relationship with God, that dwelling, abiding in Jesus, and Jesus abiding in us. Now, Jesus doesn't try to explain anything to them. He just says, "Come and see. Come and see. Come walk with me. Come work with me. Come live with me and see what this life looks like that is dwelling deeply in God." I just remembered that I forgot to put a picture in this slide, so it has a little note that says, put a picture in. Sorry. That's what happens when I don't finish on Saturday night. If you've ever done a PowerPoint, you know, it could happen. It's too bad, too, because Jan Richardson's images are gorgeous. But next week, I'll bring back some Jan Richardson. So when I was in seminary, I want you to have this big title. I took a class called Contemplative Living, Contemplative Listening, Action Rooted in Prayer. That's quite the title. In the class, we gathered for 3 hours every Friday afternoon, and it was my first introduction to contemplative prayer. And we would practice silence. We would go out in the beautiful campus as spring unfolded and practice just dwelling in God, dwelling in the Word and the world. And I learned to pray, "For you alone, O God, my soul waits in silence." And to this day, whatever other kinds of centering prayer I try or different kind of things, when I really want to center down, those are the words that bring me back most clearly. For a number of years, when I had young kids here in Albuquerque, I was working with a spiritual director, and I would get together with Melanie, and you know, I would be talking like this, like I always do. Many of you know me, and Melanie would say, "Kristen, take a breath and just calm down." And she would always do this with her hands. Come out of all that stuff spinning in your head and center down into that place where Jesus dwells, and where you are calm and secure. Oh, yeah. And I did need her to remind me every time we got together. Oh, center down. This past week, when I was asking myself the question, what am I looking for? What am I looking for right now in my spiritual life? I realize that after 3 very challenging years in life and in ministry and in just everything, you know, the everything, what I am seeking is that sense of dwelling, coming back to that place of knowing that I am held in love and that God's got this. That sense of abiding in God and God in me. And I think that's the experience of discipleship, right? The experience of the life of faith. There are faith communities that have kind of more of a one and done kind of approach to this. Have you been born again? Have you invited God into your heart? And then it's all taken care of. But in my experience, the life of faith is much more of turning back again and again and seeing Jesus say, "What do you want? What are you looking for? What does your heart need?" And of me saying, "Jesus, where are you? How do I get to you? How do I do this?" And we know that through all of this, Jesus is always saying, "Come, come and see. Come and see how I am at work in the world. Come and see I am doing a new thing. Come and see how I have blessed you. Come and see how I hold you in love." And so we are invited again and again to practice the listening, the prayer, whatever it is in our lives that return us to that deep trust in God's goodness and faithfulness. And we do this not only for our own lives of faith, but also for the sake of the work of love that we are called to do in the world. We come back around to that long class title, Action Rooted in Prayer. The seminary professor early on knew that if we were going to go out and do that work of ministry, which is all of our shared work, to do that work of ministry and love in the world, we had to root ourselves deeply in prayer. So now I'm going to make a little switch. This weekend, our nation is remembering the life and ministry of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And yesterday I was down at Civic Plaza for the commemoration speakers, and we missed the march because I overslept, but we got there for the speakers and the music and the celebration. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a great civil rights leader who worked tirelessly for equal rights and really just for his people to be recognized as fully human in our society. But his legacy is more than that. His dream of inclusion was not just for one people, for the people who looked like him, but really for everyone. Toward the end of his life, he had begun to preach about war, about the horrors of war for all the young people, young men at that time who were sent to war, as well as those on whose soil that war happened. And he was speaking about the rights of workers who are so often exploited. And didn't we see decades later during the pandemic that those we call essential workers are also those that we often treat as if they don't matter, with low wages and no health care, no paid sick leave. We still have a long way to go, my friends. Dr. Martin Luther King called us and showed us being a great leader and preacher because he showed us what it means to ask not just, what am I looking for, but what is my neighbor looking for? What is my community looking for? To remember that a part of our life of faith is to look beyond ourselves to the needs of our community. And so we are moved to ask, what does our community need to thrive? And we may say equity and equality, justice, hope, healthcare for everyone, healing, living wages, peace, love. And we know that we are looking for a beloved community where we all have a place at the table. As disciples of Jesus, we are looking for a world guided by God's vision of love, which includes everyone. And Jesus says, come, follow me. Come and see what I do. See what love looks like, active and walking around the world. Follow that way. And so we are invited to dwell there together as we work together to make that dream the reality. May it be so. Amen. Amen.